When you look at the numbers, when you look at the data, I don't know what it is that they are complaining about. Can they come up with concrete examples of instances where police targeted them? Or is it, I don't understand. Like, if you can show me data, then by all means, I'll get behind it. Like, a lot of people say things about the local police force. And generally speaking, I'm like, eh, well, I don't know. But then, like, if you're talking about North Bay or parts of Toronto, it's like, yeah, I've been convinced. I'm sorry. The numbers are there, the numbers are strong. It's very clear. The number of instances, the number of news articles of things that have been so bad that the CBC was going to report on it. It's pretty abundant, especially with North Bay and Toronto. But I haven't seen that much from Sudbury. And like, there's a few payola schemes that happened here in Ottawa where like police officers were found to be corrupt on certain issues, but had nothing to do with the LGBT community. I don't know. It's some of this is just assumptions that it is, you know, current politics says you must reject the police. If you can show something concrete that has happened recently, such as Toronto dragging its heels on a serial killer, I think that's a very valid reason to be upset with your local police. But if you're in a community that just doesn't have concrete records of this, and you're worried about domestic terrorism or hate crime or assaults or corrupt police officers targeting your community, you should probably be working towards improving community relations and actually working with them to be on your side and canceling the entire event because you don't even want them there as security. I don't think that's the way to go. Again, if it was North Bay or Toronto, it'd be pretty sympathetic. But I'm just not seeing the data there for Sudbury.
Well, I mean, I do want to quickly point out that the OIPRD, broadly speaking, refers investigations first to the internal affairs in the police departments that are being critiqued.
Oh, it's not a
So
perfect system,
if,
by any
if
means.
your issue with your local department, they first investigate themselves, which is always a track record of amazing
That's
quality.
broken, yeah.
But
But
I understand the point you're trying to make here, but
even if
they.
things bounce back off the OIPRD and they start off by saying investigate yourselves first, they still track the numbers. They still
Yeah,
track the
they
numbers of
investigate
complaints.
a ridiculously low fraction of it's not sufficient what they do. But that being said, I understand your point, and I think that a lot of that's really where I'm coming at you, is that in some communities, you know, even if it's just a couple of people who are consistently harassed or can demonstrate to their experiences with that police service being like, look, they aren't good people. There's, you know, it's a couple of bad apples, but they've rotted the bunch. You know what I mean? Like that's an issue. I don't know what the path forward is. The Sudbury Pride has been all over the place. They now have board members resigning left, right, and center. Some board members at Fierté Sudbury Pride resigned when marching with the parade was announced. Others have now resigned now that marching with the parade has been cancelled. You know, like they're losing people left, right, and center. And there's no clear way forward for them to win here. Now,
It does seem
under
to be just sort
law.
of a microcosm of the fact that the community is starting to get split along political lines. And by political lines, I don't mean left or right, and I don't mean conservative or liberal or NDP. I mean there's just different political world views on how to go forward, and there does seem to be differing approaches. I don't even necessarily think it's generational. It kind of aligns with a lot of these things, but it doesn't align perfectly with any of them. There does just seem to be a division happening within the community on certain issues, and the relationship with the police is one of them. Even though, like, I may sound like I'm pretty sympathetic to the police, I think they should 100% be held accountable for the errors that they make. And if there's any kind of major broad mistakes they do, absolutely hold their feet to the coals. But also be sure that if you're going to be, you know, going on some kind of a, you know, witch hunt to your local police service, make sure your complaints are about them and not about some other police service, which gets complicated in Ontario because you also have the OPP. And so you can have something where, I don't know, the OPP do something grim out in some rural community, you know, near the Manitoba border. And then, you know, people near the East Coast, they sort of react to that. And it is the OPP in a lot of these smaller communities, but that's, I don't know. That's kind of complicated when you get to things like that. But when you have dedicated police service, you know, if you have the North Bay Police Service, you have the Greater Sudbury Area Police Service, you have the, I don't know, St. Catharines Niagara Police Service, they are autonomous. And if you're going to make complaints, make sure your complaints about them are using data from your local service. Because we see this too often. We see this way too often.
I mean, I think it's not just about that. You know, Fierté Sudbury Pride didn't just look at the OIPRD website. They have spoken to dozens and dozens and dozens of people in their community.
Okay.
And sure, they've talked to a lot of people who have said, look, maybe it's better if they're not there, but frankly, having no pride is a bigger symbol than like having no march has a
Yeah.
bigger impact. And
It
there's
has a bigger
others who are
impact on the
like,
community. The police are just like, well, that's one weekend we don't have to work. For the
and there's
community,
other
that's a very
community
big deal.
members who are saying that we are regularly running into the police and having issues. You know, it and the way that they seem to have landed on this is that for those few for whom interactions with the police are regular and typically hostile, that is why they're making that decision, that for their social justice reasons, that they won't work with them at all. I don't know. They've now decided that their board meetings will be far more transparent and available. In fact, earlier today, there was a board meeting. I wasn't able to sit in on it, but we haven't seen any decisions coming out of that one just yet. But hold on to your horses, and we might be announcing next week that there will be a parade in Sudbury. So, but we'll keep an eye on
But
that.
they're not canceling all of Pride. They're just talking about the parade. Like, there's probably going to be a picnic or a community fair or something like that.
Exactly,
Okay.
exactly. Now, the challenge is that to have any kind of presence or close any municipal roads, they need a police officer to be able to do so. It's outlined in the laws in that area. So they can't, unfortunately, close a road without that. But, you know, it makes me think of the Trans March in Toronto and even the Alternative March in Toronto and then the equivalent ones in Montreal. A lot of these really small, smaller, sorry, marches, they just gather up somewhere and then just go for a walk down the middle of the street. And
If you don't have floats or music or voice amplifiers, you don't need a permit and you don't need a police presence, so long as, and then there's a list of conditions, like you stick to one
check the
lane and
laws that apply to your area. Don't take, you know, we are looking at a jurisdiction from coast to coast to coast. Please verify in your area. And of course, if you can march with a permit, then that is far safer for
Oh, yes.
everybody. But my point here is that the pride was a protest, and there's a lot of protests that don't get the right paperwork before they take to the streets. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on Sudbury as that news develops. Others in Thunder Bay have been raising a little bit of a concern. They're a bit concerned that not everyone in the queer community is actually going to be able to participate in Thunder Bay's various prides.
Is it because it's a city in the middle of a forest in the middle of nowhere?
You know,
Western Ontario is empty.
you're really not that far away.
Oh, it'd be like Sault Ste. Marie Pride. Five people show up, but like 7,000 people want to go.
So the biggest issue is the literal accessibility of the event. Like being able to physically access Pride means that for a lot of folks in Thunder Bay with disabilities, they literally can't access some of the Pride events. You know, it could be food vendors set up on the sidewalks, meaning that they can't get to them or they can't get around them. It's a whole bunch of stuff. You know, one of the things I remembered when we were organizing Pride Ottawa is that in order to be something that is welcoming and inviting to your community, It's the whole community. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? It is everyone. And we have queer folks who are blind, deaf, disabled, you name it. They are among us. But yeah, Thunder Bay is now having to take a sit down and look at all of its events and figure out where do we move, where do we adjust, where do we scale up and or down, to make themselves more physically accessible. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Now, we're going to be playing Cool, Cool by Vicky Minor. This is Cool by Vicky Minor. We will be back just after this.
My antidote, like a work of art. Got a tender heart, sitting pretty, make my whole world fall apart. Like a lover's grip, come for you every day. Hard to touch and not too much, could never walk away. Never make this easy, gonna want you to seize me on my vice, but I'm too sure to together, nothing out of place. The way you laugh to dance is turn me on like friends. And chicks to flush, you make me blush. There's nothing to do, nothing go.
Welcome back to Cancri, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And the Pope has found himself on a placard. In fact, a cutout of the Pope has become a paid character in the Pride in Rome. So this past Saturday, Rome had its 30th annual Pride celebration, and in keeping with now what is the second time in as many weeks, the Pope has used a term. It's the F-bomb slur used against queer folks. It's funny because the actual word in Italian relates to a bundle of sticks. And even in English, a faggot is a bundle of sticks. I'm
Yes.
using the term here in its cultural, in its correct context,
It's neutral context.
in its neutral
Let's
context,
say, yeah.
exactly. But he's used the term again. So there was a significant, maybe not significant, but multiple people during Rome Pride were certainly self-identifying and reclaiming the term. Following the Pope's yet again snafu. We are going to just whistle through some international news here. I am keeping an eye on Greece. The Greek Prime Minister has indicated that he wants to focus on changing attitudes and perceptions. Now, equal marriage was introduced in the legislature in Greece last month or the month before. Whether or not this is them slow walking it, whether or not this is Meaning it won't happen, we don't know, but we are keeping an eye on that. Do you recall the Christian College in Brisbane, City Point Christian College, that had their legal agreements that students had to sign
Oh,
a
yes.
declaration of faith?
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. The Declaration of Faith contract declared that they could terminate the student based on their sexual identity, gender identity, and sexual activities, referring to it as sinful, and so on and so forth. They have now settled a lawsuit that was
Yes.
related to it. Yeah, so they were taken to court. They were then probably taken to the cleaners. I believe that they have issued a statement of regret.
Now, to be fair to them, on the commitment to faith thing, other than the gay part, it overlaps pretty strongly with a student code of conduct. It's basically just student code of conduct for this Catholic university is be a Catholic. And fair enough. Most universities have something like that where the moment you pay your tuition, it is implied that you are agreeing to the student code of conduct. So broadly speaking, the whole process is not necessarily cringe. It's just that they had a couple things in there that are like, you can't do that. Like under the charter, you can't do that, number one. Number two, that's just corny. Number three, how are you going to enforce that? Are you going to pay detectives to track people? Like the whole thing is just weird. It's just weird. But overall, the concept of a Catholic student code of conduct is just whatever. Universities do that. I don't know. But you know what I mean.
Now, there has been a story that I think has really captured a lot of attention. And that is because a 75-year-old man by the name of Preetam Jiani applied to run the Lorenzo Gay Club in Abbottabad in Pakistan. Now, you may recall what this particular part of Pakistan is more famous for.
Sandwiches.
No, it is not sandwiches. It is not sandwiches. But yeah, he was planning to open a gay bar where, quote, the envisaged gay club, tentatively called the Lorenzo Gay Club, would basically just be a venue where gay people can meet, converse, light refreshments, and just hang out. He has now been detained. I believe he has been sent to a psychiatric hospital for review. And the headlines around the world have really read along the lines of man detained for trying to open gay club in Osama bin Laden's compound town in Pakistan. I want to clarify, he was not opening a gay bar in Osama bin Laden's compound, although that would have been hilarious. It is rather in that town. He just wanted a place where queer folks could meet, mingle, and of course, light refreshments.
And it also would not have been a bar because it's a dry country.
Exactly. And there would have been no accommodations for sexual activities. In fact, they were planning to have posters to dissuade people. But really, it's a place where it would have been safe to meet and greet. And this idea was so shocking. That he is now in a psychiatric hospital in Pakistan.
I mean, it's also an indication of sometimes journalists take shortcuts when they're reporting on things. Because if you're going to call it a gay bar, which in Pakistan, there are no bars and there are no gay bars, and I don't know about how they would acknowledge gay people there. Granted, you are framing it in a way that locals would understand what it is, but you got to dig under the hood sometimes with news stories. But it's weird and cartoonish, but also tragic. It is a very interesting story, and I would very much like to see a follow-up someday.
Exactly. Now, we are also following the story of a couple of hundred people meeting for the first time since 2022 for exactly 10 minutes in Kyiv. So the Pride Kyiv held ever since the Russians did their illegal invasion and their bombing tirade and the thousands of people that they have killed in the Ukraine following their illegal invasion. There hasn't been a Pride parade in Kyiv. In fact, I believe they marched in Liverpool instead of Kyiv around the time of when Eurovision was being hosted. As a safe alternative, because of course, less chance of aerial bombing by the Russians in Liverpool compared to Kyiv. Now, they had requested that the city allow them to meet on the subway system and that they have a subway meeting. But the challenge is in a country which is being actively invaded by an aggressive foreign power. Which is quite fond of dropping bombs on people,
On crowds.
on crowds. How do you safely gather up a good couple of hundred people waving flags saying, we're here, we're queer? It's hard to safely navigate that. So
Yeah, sort of related. A while ago, I read an article about the underground club scene in Kyiv, and they said underground club, not in the way that you would think in New York City, where all the fun clubs don't advertise. It is literally all the dance clubs in Kyiv are in basements and bomb shelters that have been converted. And you know a building has a dance club in it because on Friday and Saturday night, all the lights are off. You have to basically just make your way into the club through feel because the moment the place gets labeled as a location with several hundred people in it, it becomes a target. So the club scene there has taken a very interesting direction. And I can only imagine that Pride would do the same thing. They would need to find like a stadium with a cover on it that you cannot see from the sky, and everybody comes in through the tunnels so they don't see thousands of people coming in through the gates. Like that's how they would have to do it.
yeah, well, what they ended up doing is they met in with umbrellas, big bright umbrellas. They met in the middle of town. They were there for approximately about 10 minutes and then scattered like mice down various subway stations and off into the city. But the reason why it is so important is not only it gives an opportunity for joy in a country that struggled with having these parades in light of the illegal invasion, but the Ukraine does have, a relatively high rate of hate crimes against the LGBT community. It's not as if the hatred against these folks does not exist there. And so being able to demonstrate unity, demonstrate strength in numbers, demonstrate pride and joy. It's really important, even in a country where you're being actively invaded. So yeah, there's a lot going on. So we are thrilled that Kyiv Pride met for approximately about 10 minutes. Now, if only Toronto Pride was that quick, can you imagine?
Oh God, I would actually attend.
I would actually attend for Toronto Pride if I was in and out in 10 minutes. That would be a delight. But no, we are obviously being facetious here.
Oh, we're also in a different city, so I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I believe that's it for me on the world of gay news. There's other stories, obviously, but we haven't had time yet today to get into them. Did you miss anything, Sebastian?
Nope, I think we covered everything.
Covered all the bases. Excellent. We are going to play Laura Kelsey Die. Sorry, Laura Kelsey with "Die in Your Dreams," and great artist indie rock track here from BC. And I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. Thank you for listening.
Ally Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Maybe you're a parent, a family member, employer, a coworker, an educator, a healthcare provider? PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
And your undershave. You don't even have it anymore. Perfectly.